reading to you from the 9th chapter of Acts, and with the 15th verse. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. Gave my heart to Christ over 52 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Well, friends, some days I'm feeling better. I really am feeling better. And I thank you so much for your prayers. It means so much to me. I pray for you. A lot of you people I know by name, but some of you I don't. The ones I don't know, I just say, Lord, bless my listeners. Well, listen, I'll be with you for a half an hour tonight. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers, sit back and pour you a glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, I have labeled this message, Changed Lives. You know, I got to thinking, why don't I start preaching some of the sermons that I used to preach, as I still do preach in prison, I should say. Because after all, you need to know what I say in prison as well as what I say on the broadcast. Anyway, the other day, Reverend Ken Jackson and two laymen were having lunch together, as we do every Friday, and the subject came up about changed lives. And each of us gave an example of men and women who had trusted Jesus and how it affected the church and the community in which they lived. What a wonderful time we had. We decided the reason some of our churches are suffering and few people are being saved is because they seldom ever see anyone saved in church. I'd like to tell you what I witnessed in my church in Portland, Oregon, years ago. One of the men came to me and said, Cecil, my dad has been drunk for a week or so, and he's decided to come down here tonight and tear up our church. And to be frank with you, Cecil, I'm scared to death. I do not know if he'll bring a gun or what. Will you stay with me and see what can be done? And I agreed, and so did two other brothers. Well, after church was dismissed and the four of us were sitting in the church waiting for this old drunk to come and tear up the church. Pretty soon we heard the door come open and we heard him coming up the steps. And when he broke into the sanctuary, his glasses were up on his head, his pants were unzipped, he had wet himself, and he had vomit all over the front of his shirt. He was crying and he said, Can I get help? Oh, friends, I went over to the old man and took him by the hand and led him back into the prayer room. And I said, Sir, I too had an alcoholic problem. And I asked the same question to a pastor in Seattle, Washington. I said, that morning at 4 a.m., I heard the sweetest love story ever told a man. He told me God loved me in spite of my sins, and Christ loved the sinner, but not the sins. Well, sir, that morning, without knowing anything about the Bible, God's Holy Spirit had convicted me that I was a terrible sinner, and that if I'd repent of my sin and call upon Jesus to save me, he would. That pastor and I knelt there in his living room, and I cried out for God to be merciful to me, a sinner. I said then, I got up off my knees, went home to tell my wife the good news about my conversion. I really didn't press her one bit. I said to the old man, Sir, are you a sinner? And he cried, Oh, yes, I'm a sinner. I said, Are you ready to invite Christ into your heart and ask him to save you? And he said, Yes, I am. Well, About 3 weeks later, our church was practicing for our Christmas cantata, and as my wife and I and children were walking up the stairs, we heard this beautiful, beautiful tenor voice leading the Christmas carols. Yes, it was the old converted drunk who was going to tear up the church 3 weeks before. Friends, this is what the world needs to see. Changed lives. Now, this is where we get criticized. We go into prison. We share the gospel, and someone comes forward and says, they have prayed the sinner's prayer, and now they are saved. Now, everyone who was at the service are watching that person. They go back to their cell, and he starts reading the Bible, and everything appears to be okay. The next day, they're out on the playing field waiting, having recreation, and this guy comes up to you and tells you the most filthy story you have ever heard. Then you hear him cussing out another inmate. Listen, beloved, and listen carefully. You can pray the sinner's prayer 10,000 times and not be saved. Without being in a fruit inspector, I'm here to tell you something is wrong. Because the Bible tells us that if anyone be in Christ, they are new creatures. Old things have passed away. All things become as new. You see, when you really, really repent of your sins and receive Christ as personal Savior, He removes that heart of stone and gives you a heart of flesh. Your name is then written in the Lamb Book of Life. You now have the assurance that you are a child of the King. So what am I trying to tell you? To be sure, you're not playing games with God, because He doesn't like that. Before I was saved and we were in battle at Okinawa, I thought we would all be killed. The Japanese were throwing everything at us but the kitchen sink. They were bombing and strafing us from the air, and it didn't look good. Now, I was a head believer, but I hadn't accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. But boy, I told God I'd go to church when I got home. I'd quit cussing. I'd quit drinking. I was trying to cut a deal with God. Friends, listen. Don't try that tonight, because God knows our hearts. I was associate pastor of a church in Bellingham, Washington, as the church was supposed to pay my rent as a salary, and I was to get part-time work. We were so poor we couldn't pay attention. We were out of food with the exception of a two-pound bag of white navy beans. So I said, well, I'll put these beans on and we'll have them tomorrow for dinner. I found an old wilted carrot and a wilted tater. Oh, so I put them in the navy bean soup and put them on a stove in low heat. About 6 in the morning, I woke up and smelled those beans cooking. Boy, it smelled as good as roast turkey. I told the Lord that I thanked Him for it, that my family was going to have something for dinner, as it was Sunday. At 7 a.m., my front door bell rang. I jumped up, went to the door, and there stood a stranger. In his hand, he had a Safeway grocery sack with 2 loaves of bread sticking out of it. He said, are you Reverend Cecil Moen? I said, yes. And he said, the Lord told me to bring this to you, and turned and left. Now, friends, in that sack was a big ham, 2 loaves of bread, and a $20 bill. You can believe me, those beans sure did taste good with that ham that God had provided. Well, I didn't have any more money, and I sure couldn't buy no gas, and I had to get a job, because I wasn't going to let my kids go hungry. So I prayed that night, and I said, Lord, I don't have gas money, so I'm going to have to walk. But would you lead me to a job so I can support my family? It was a cold, rainy day, and fog was low. I walked down through Skid Row, and I saw an old building that should have been torn down years ago. It had a neon sign on it saying, Jesus Saves, and I walked in, and a man came and said, could I help you? I said, I sure hope so. I'm looking for a job. He said, can you drive a truck? And I said, sure I can. He said, this job don't pay much. It only pays $80 a month. Well, listen, friends, listen to me. My rent was $80 a month. What in the world were we going to eat? Well, the director of the mission said he could give us some groceries from time to time, and I said I'd take the job. Well, the truck was so old that even a wrecking yard wouldn't have taken it to the scrap dump. In fact, the steering wheel came off in my hand one day as I was turning a corner. Well, the next day after I took the job, the director called me into his office and said, I have a helper for you. And there stood the ugliest Lummi Island Indian I'd ever seen. I wouldn't be surprised that the doctor slapped his mother when Joe came into the world. This man hated preachers. He hated God. He'd spent 4 years in boys' reform school and 7 years in state prison. He had one arm cut off while he was in reform school. And he said he was a Catholic. And don't mess with his religion, because if you do, I'll knock your block off. Now, Joe Hoskins had whipped every police officer in Bellingham, Washington, every bartender and every man who came to the mission for a bed. His life was out of control. He was an alcoholic. He smoked pot. But you know, I started praying for old Joe Hoskins. One time he told me if I ever asked him to go to my church, he'd knock my block off. The more I prayed for Joe, the more tender-hearted he became. At least I thought he had. One night he went out and got smashed. The next day he had a hangover so bad he couldn't hear, he could hear flies buzzing miles away. We had to pick up a big chair that someone had donated to the mission. I said, Joe, you get out and I'll wait for you. He got out and lifted that heavy chair up, threw it in a truck, got in and said, just say one word and I'll knock your block off. I said, Joe, it wasn't my fault you went out and got tanked last night. I said, by the way, Joe, my wife asked me if you'd like to come to our house for Sunday dinner. He said, what? You want a redskin to come to a round eyes place for dinner? I said, well, if you don't want to, you don't have to. And he'd realized he'd hurt my feelings. He said, sure, I'll come, but don't you invite me to come to your church. Joe came to dinner, and my little 3-year-old daughter had finally learned Jesus loves me. She'd rock back and forth on the davenport and sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, and over and over until I almost went out of my mind. Joe went back to the mission, and the next morning I was met at the front door by Joe with a hot cup of coffee. He said, he called me Dad, which he oftentimes called. He's, you know, he said, I had a wonderful time at your home yesterday. This is the first Christian home I've ever been in, and that little girl of yours knows more about Jesus than I do. A week or so later, my friend Ted Benner had a 4-place Cessna airplane, and he knew that I loved to fly, and he said, hey, Cease, would you like to fly over to Friday Harbor? I have to deliver a film. I said, sure. Hey, Joe, I said, have you ever been up in an airplane? He said, nope. I said, well, come on, we're going to go for your first ride. Well, it so happened that it was very windy and the air was very, very turbulent. Joe was sitting in the back seat and he had one arm on one window and the little stub on the other. And I will tell you that redskin was white, snow white. I said, Joe, what's the matter? He said, we might crash. I said, that's okay. Absent from the body, present from the Lord. And he said, that's what I'm afraid of. Well, 2 weeks later, the pastor was going to be gone, so he suggested that we show a real good missionary film, and I forgot that Joe had threatened me about inviting him to my church, and I invited him and said he would come. Well, our good friend Ted Benner came along with him. They become friends, and after the film, I got up and I had him sing Just As I Am. Pretty soon I noticed Joe had the little stub arm up in the air, and I didn't know what he wanted to be, what he wanted. Anyway, I said, if you'd like to receive Christ tonight, and will you come as we are singing our invitation hymn? I said, if you're afraid, take the neighbor by the hand and come on up. Joe reached over and took Ted by the hand and came down the aisle weeping. He put his little stub arm around my neck and said, Dad, if you can't whip him, then we should join him. Joe Hoskin became a new creature that night, and let me tell you, the town of Bellingham heard about Joe Hoskin's conversion. Even the police department came down and asked me what happened to old Joe. He quit drinking. He started coming to my church. He got baptized, and every Sunday morning I'd attend a Christian men's prayer breakfast, and I'd take Joe with me. And he began to give his testimony in churches and would come and share, would want us to share our testimonies. Well, then it happened. One day, I received a phone call from a tough bartender in downtown Seattle in Skid Row District. The bartender said, "Are you Reverend C. Simone?" I said, "Yes." He said, "What do I..." He said, "Yes, I want to tell you something. Do you have an Indian friend by the name of Joe Hoskins?" I said, "Yes." So, well, he's here, and he's very, very drunk. And he told me that you were his best friend and to call you. I was just sick. I called another converted alcoholic that I'd introduced to Christ, and Harold Hayes and his wife and my wife, and we got in our car, and we drove down to Seattle. And when we walked into that bar, they gave us a dirty look, and they wouldn't let us touch Joe. Bartender said, "That's all right. This fellow's his good friend." Joe was crying. He said, "Oh, I screwed up. Oh, I messed up. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry." I said, "Joe, if you're really sorry, you tell the Lord you're sorry and tell him you won't do that again." And he did. Well, anyway, it wasn't long that after that we got a call from a Christian businessman, and they were having a Christian men's retreat at Lake Chelan, a resort place in the mountains. Oh, what a beautiful place. And they wanted Joe and I to speak. I said, "Joe, they've heard me. Why don't you tell them what Jesus done for you?" He got up and said, "I was going to tell you how bad I used to be, but I just want to tell you what Jesus did for me." There wasn't a dry eye in that place. Over 400 men shed tears. Oh, I shed tears too. Why? Because I said, "Joe Hoskin, at his very worst, a mean, drunken, fighting, lummy Indian, and now look what God has done for him." A few months later, my wife and children were in a terrible car wreck, and I was in the hospital in traction, and Joe would come up and visit me every day. One day he came to my room and said, "Dad, I don't know what's the matter." He said, "Without you down there to help me," he said, I feel like a ship without a rudder." "Well," he said, "you've always been an encouragement to me, and I am tempted to drink." I said, "Joe, it is no sin to be tempted, as long as you do not yield." And that holds true today. Being tempted is not a sin. Well, Joe fell and was killed. And God knew that Joe was having a problem at the mission, being around so many winos, and so he took Joe home where he'd be happy. Oh, friends, I remember at that funeral, I sat and thought, if we had not been poor, we would have never, never had an opportunity to meet Joe Hoskins. I ask today, do you have a changed life? Are you free from the curse of sin? Have you ever asked Jesus to save you? There's much work to be done here in prison. You're not to sit around and feel sorry for yourself. You're to receive Christ, and then you're to go to work for Jesus. Tom Baird, the preacher who invited me, Tom Baird, who led me to Christ, was living down in Virginia. He had both of his legs removed because of diabetes. And he was reading in the paper one day where these two young 18-year-old boys killed a couple guys and robbed them. Tom got in his little old wheelchair and he wheeled down to the prison to see those two young boys. Did you know he introduced both of those two black kids to Christ? Wasn't long later, both of those men were called to be evangelists in prison. They had led hundreds of inmates to Christ. Yes, friends, their changed lives have helped many to see Christ. I remember I was attending a Union Gospel mission meeting in Roanoke, Virginia, and there I met a man whose name was Gus. Gus had killed a man and was put in prison for 20 years. While in prison, he was converted to Christ. When he was released, he married a fine young Christian lady, and they started that rescue mission in Roanoke. Today, it's one of the largest gospel missions in America. I've preached in it many times. My wife and I have stayed all night with them in their new home. I never saw a man with so much compassion. The women and men loved old, tender-hearted Gus. A few years later, Gus got sick, and God took him to his rewards. Listen, friends, I want you to know, and you, all you prisoners today, if you don't get converted while you're in here, it's your own fault. Because I'm going to give an invitation. I'm going to give an invitation for you to put your trust in Christ. Oh, friends, listen. Don't you want your life to count? God loves you, and we love you. What more do you need? Why don't you have not received Christ, do so tonight? For you who are already saved, why don't you commit your life to Christ to be a soul winner or surrender to be a witness for Christ? Your life will not be lived in vain, I will assure you. Yes, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, they are new creatures. Old things are passed away. All things become as new. Dear friend, did you know what? I hear a lot of these far-out people who are always talking about a miracle. Oh, I'm seeking a miracle. You're listening to a miracle tonight on this broadcast. Yes, you are. I was as low as a polecat and as rotten as a snake. But when I asked Jesus to forgive my sins and to come in my heart, He changed me. He made of me a new creature. Shortly after that, my wife accepted Christ. All my children have accepted Christ, all because of one person, Jesus. And friends, He loves you so much tonight, you might be having a little tugging at your heart. Oh, you think, oh my, something's wrong. I know something's wrong in my life. Well, I don't care what religion you belong to. It doesn't make a bit of difference. It's not religion I'm talking about. It's salvation. It's meeting Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. You say, well, Cecil, I'm convinced. All right, if you got a little old tugging at your heart and you want to know Jesus, bow your head with me, ladies, and here's the prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. And Lord, I'm asking you to come into my heart and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to call me at 303-471-8534. Now, you here in prison can't call me. You can't call me, but you can. And if you'd like to come forward and let me know what you've done, I'd appreciate it. And if you did pray that prayer, do call me. I won't use your name on the air. I won't embarrass you. I won't sit down and write and ask you for any money. And I don't care where you go to church. I'm concerned where you spend eternity. Give me a call, 303-471-8534.
Rise. to the cry in your heart. He will touch you and set you free. Arise and be healed in the name of Jesus. Let faith arise.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I thank you for listening tonight, and I do thank you for praying for me and my wife. How we appreciate it, and for my quartet and for our prison ministries. Oh, I tell you, friends, I've been so blessed. I don't care how sick I've been. I don't care how many operations. God has blessed us and given us souls for hire. That's what he called me to do, to be a soul winner for Jesus. I've not always pleased him, and I've not always followed him, but I've always tried to preach Jesus. And friends, if your life is in the pits, come to Jesus. And if you're a Christian and you've been off on a tangent, come on back to him and tell him you're sorry. He'll use you. Until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor, stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.